10:30. How are you doing this morning? We're doing good? It's like three or four of you. Come on, you doing good? You excited to be in church? Be in God's house? Some of you are like, I don't know. I'm a little triggered just because you're talking about politics and stuff. I don't know if I can handle this. Come on, how many are like, you're feeling a little jittery? How many is ready for it to be over? How many of you didn't even know that we were in an election season? You've just been like, pulled a blanket over your head and you're just hiding from all of it. Oh man, so good. Hey, if it's your first time here, my name is Michael. I'm the lead pastor on behalf of my wife, Amanda, all of our team and leaders. We are thrilled to have you. Also want to say hello if you're joining us online this morning, no matter where you might be. Would you all help me welcome first-time guests and everybody joining us online? We're glad you're here. And I'm so excited for this 4 weeks that we're going to spend together. We've done it once this morning. Nobody told me they were quitting the church or anything, so I think that's a good sign to get started. And we're gonna dive into some. We're gonna get into some stuff. All right. But before I get to that, I want to recognize a couple of people that are in the room. Actually, you probably remember several weeks ago I told you that I've kind of put an open invitation out to anyone who's running for elected office in our area if they want to come by and meet you and get to know you and answer your questions and discuss where they're at, their platform, and where they're at on different issues, that we would create a space for them to do that. And so this morning we actually have two candidates who bravely have stepped into our building this morning to worship with us, but also to meet you and rub shoulders with you, which I actually very much appreciate because I feel like our elected officials feel very far away from us, very detached, and don't really represent us. They mostly represent a list of ideals. And so I appreciate people who will step into a church like ours this morning as strangers, not knowing anybody. That takes guts and courage to do that. And so one of them is running for our district for the state house. And his name, did I get that right? His name is David Hansberger. He's sitting right here on the front row. David, would you stand? And I like that you got your politician jacket on. You didn't have that on when we had lunch. I like that. Over to my right is Ruth Briggs King, and her husband Stanley is with her this morning. Stay standing for 1 second. Let me tell everybody what you're running. She is running for lieutenant governor here in the state of Delaware. And so what I can tell you about both of these people, and you can sit down. I was able to spend enough time with them to know that they actually both have a relationship with Jesus, and so I always think that's a great place to start, and not ashamed of their walk with the Lord. And so they'll both be available after service in the lobby, and I would ask you be kind and gracious, but also be very direct and ask your questions and share your. They've made the mistake of asking me my opinion, and I gave it. All right. And so, because y'all know, you open the door, I'm coming through, like a freight train. All right, so I love that. Hey, I know you saw this in church news, but I just want to get you extra fired up. We are closing in on baptism weekend here, October 27th. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, but have not yet taken this step in your discipleship journey and gone public with your faith, we want to invite you to participate in that October 27th. You can sign up now at truelife.church/baptism. If you've been at baptism here at True Life, you know it's like a big party. And so after 4 weeks of talking about some of the things we're going to talk about, we're going to need that. All right, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'd love for you to be there. And then I just want you to have this on the radar because it's coming November 17th at the movies 2024. You could just be thinking about friends, family, people you want to invite to church. Come on, popcorn season's almost here at True Life. Get an amen, somebody. I read a statistic recently that I thought was a little bit concerning and shocking. I read that two-thirds of evangelical Christians, and so let me just pause there for a second because I know that word, evangelical Christian, has been thrown around a lot, especially in the media. Depending on who you're listening to, they make it sound like you're part of some sort of evil cult. Y'all know that what an evangelical Christian is? It's just a follower of Jesus who takes the Great Commission seriously. And so we believe part of our job, part of our responsibility is to spread the gospel, to share Jesus with others. That's an evangelical. So some of you this morning, like, you've been attending True Life all these years, you didn't know you were one. You are. Congratulations. All right, so two-thirds of evangelical Christians did not participate in the last election, didn't vote. And I find that actually really concerning. One of the excuses we'll use here in a state like Delaware is like, it's really blue, it's pre-decided, why would I participate anyway? But let me just tell you, I actually believe that's poor stewardship. I believe it's a stewardship issue. Like, God allows you to have a circle of influence, a measure of influence. Just like Jesus handed out the talents, he said, now what are you going to do with the talent? And I think anytime we don't use the influence that we have, we're actually stewarding what has been given to us poorly. And I want the master to come back and say, good job, you did what you... And guess what? We might not always be in the majority. We might not always win. But we should pray. We should read the word. We should vote our values. But we should not miss the opportunity to participate. And so we're working with an organization called My Faith Votes. If you are not yet registered to vote, we've set up a little forwarding address for you. You can go to truelife.church/vote. It will have everything that you need right there on that page to register. It'll also help you figure out where your precinct is to go vote in person, or if you're not going to be able to be there that day, it'll help you get to the right place to get an absentee ballot, do all those different things. And so truelife.church/, everybody say it. Vote. Come on, everybody say it. Vote. You gotta do it, all right? Here's some background on the series in the 4 weeks that we're going to spend together. We did this for the very first time 4 years ago at the end of 2020, and I'm sorry for saying that. This is just a lot of emotional triggers this morning. 2020, at the end of 2020, and how do y'all remember just how crazy that one was? You know, we're dealing with COVID, and some people are out in public, others aren't yet, and some people are masking, some aren't. Like, just kind of a really weird time, crazy time, very divisive time in our kind of, election years always are a little bit divisive, but the intensity's gone up. And so in 2020, we did this series, and really our heart for the series was like, hey, everybody, it's going to be okay. Don't freak out. It's going to be all right. This year, we're going to lean into this series again. We're going to do it again. But I'll tell you, like, the heart, I feel like the heart where the Holy Spirit's taking us is different this time around. We all know we're going to be okay because Jesus is on the throne. We're going to be all right. But we are going to, I'm going to try to give you a little bit more clarity. We're gonna step into some issues, and I'm hoping to just help you have clarity on how to steward your vote, how to steward your influence. I also want to help you deal with some of the feelings that you might be having during an election season. I know there's a wide range of emotions. Some of you are even feeling them now, this idea that we're going to tackle this in church. And so maybe you're feeling like, maybe you're excited about it. Maybe the most recent poll numbers have you fired up, or maybe not. Maybe you're feeling a little more depressed. Maybe you're just overwhelmed by the whole thing. This is probably the one most of us feel right here. You're like, is it over? Tell me when it's over. But the one that's most concerning to me as your pastor is the number of Christians who are confused, who don't have clarity, and who've kind of gotten wrapped up in a lot of the cultural conversations. And so we're going to talk about that over these 4 weeks. I want you to understand, because I know some of you have been at True Life a long time, and so I don't want you to think like, man, Pastor, what's happening? Why are you getting political all of a sudden? I'm not. In fact, what I want you to understand today is that everything you're seeing play out in our country and really on a world stage right now, it's not political, it's spiritual. So we are giving witness to spiritual battles, spiritual warfare playing out among our leaders, elected officials, world leaders, and we need to have discernment. And so I'm not getting political, I'm actually being spiritual. It's not my fault that everybody else doesn't realize it's spiritual. Okay? And so we're gonna step into some messy areas. We're going to talk about some stuff. How many of y'all would say, like, the last 4 years have just been weird? Would y'all agree? Maybe the weirdest 4 years that I have lived through, personally. Just kind of our world, things that are happening. Now, some of that might be that I'm middle-aged now, and I know at some point you just start to become crotchety, so maybe it's that. But it just seems like, there's a lot of darkness. Yeah? Seems like there's a lot of darkness. And so, as believers, what we can kind of do is when things get dark, we kind of like tense up. We're kind of like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What's happening? But can I just share some good news with you this morning? You've heard me say this before, but I just want to remind you that light always shines brightest when it's dark. Like, darkness is not something for us to fear. And so I want to illustrate this for you this morning, because I've shared this idea with you before, this concept with you before, that light shines brightest in the darkness. But it's not just that we need a light, it's that we need to know what to do with the light. So, warning, if you need to go to the bathroom or something, you're going to want to wait a second, because it's going to be dangerous for you to try to get up and move around here in just for a second. So we're going to, let's practice experiencing darkness for a moment. Go ahead, guys. And it's going to get very, very dark in here, okay? That's church in a warehouse right there. And so, we all agree it's pretty dark? Yes? Pretty dark. I see people turning their phones on, like, stop it, you're going to mess this up. All right. It's pretty dark. So in the dark, what's more effective? It's pretty bright, right? I mean, this is just a little $15 Amazon deal. And I can do my own light show. Watch. We spent way too much money. We just needed a bunch of kids with flashlights. We would have. Light shines brightest in the dark, right? It's very noticeable. You can see it. But here's the thing about a light is you also need to know how to use it, because not only does a light shine brightest in the darkness, but also in a lot of darkness is an easy place to get deceived. Like, somebody could say right now, hey, Pastor Michael, did you know that the keyboard, the piano on the stage is on your left? And I would say, no, it's not. And they'd say, oh, yes, it is. And it's dark. How do you know? And in fact, if you don't agree with me, then you don't love me and I'm going to cancel you. And so then my responsibility would be to take my light and say, well, no. I mean, you can cancel me if you want to, but I happen to know there's the keyboard right there. I can shine the light on it. I can discern truth from lie. Oh, yeah? Well, the drums are in the middle. No. Those are over there. That's where those are. And so deception can flourish in the darkness, which is why we need to know how to use the light of Jesus and the light of God's word and have the discernment of God in our hearts as followers, so that we know how to aim and say, they might say, hey, the best way out of here is to your left. And I would say, no, there's an exit sign right there. And there's one back there. The safest way out is that direction. Come on, you can't tell people how to get to an eternity with Jesus. You can't tell people how to get to heaven unless you shine the light on the path and tell them how to get there. Am I right? You can turn the lights back on, guys. And no injuries? We good? All right, cool. No insurance claims today? That's awesome. I want to remind you, but I cannot wait till I don't have to use the stool anymore on a Sundays. January 9th, everybody. They're going to put a new one in here, and I'm going to be running all over the place. All right. New hip. Somebody like, new what? New hip. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul says, we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not a home. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is not your permanent residence. This is a temporary home. We will one day spend eternity with Jesus. This is not our home. And so that means in the in-between time, in the time before either you, the Bible says, is appointed to every man wants to die. So at some point, Yay, aren't you glad you came to church this morning? You're gonna die. Or Jesus is gonna return, right? And take us. And then things are gonna be fantastic. But until then, we're gonna live in this tension between like, man, this doesn't feel like this is how it's supposed to be. And it's because we are living in a world where something is taking place right in front of us. In fact, everyone is participating. The difference is some are participating knowingly and some are participating unknowingly. Anybody in the room who enjoys combat sports, boxing, MMA? My friend Chris right here used to do MMA, so don't jack with him. Don't mess with me because he's my friend. I got to go one time. I had a pastor friend who had a connection to somebody, and they took us to an MMA event. Got to sit on the front row, watch these guys fight. It was awesome. Just amazing. So much testosterone in the room. It's great. Watch these guys fight, MMA fight. And anytime there's a big fight, a big boxing match, whatever, you always have the announcer, right? In the blue corner, hailing from... He is the undisputed champion of the world. And in the red corner from... We're in a fight. In one corner is good. Y'all probably can guess the next one. In the other corner is evil. And it's disorienting in the darkness because even now, like in our society right now, in our culture right now, you have people who are flipping these upside down. For most of our time as a nation, as a country, you would understand that God is and Satan is. But even this, so like I told you that evangelical Christian term, like there are people who use it as if you're evil, like you're bad. Yeah, we're so bad that we want everybody to go to heaven. Ooh, shame on us. So evil. And so even this is being called into question. It's happening daily. It's happening right in front of us because the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi, I've told you often and I'll say it again, and look at his posture. He's not pointing a wagging his finger at somebody. He's in tears over that. He's heartbroken. That there are many whose conduct shows they are really what? Of the cross of Christ. So Paul's not like, he's like, no, this is breaking my heart because you're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. That word appetite there in the Greek does not mean like Krispy Kreme. It means like feeding your feelings. That I want to feel, I just, whatever it takes to feel good. Sound familiar? They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth, which we just discussed we can't do because we're not citizens here. We're citizens there. We are citizens of, come on, everybody say it, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives and are eagerly waiting for him to return as our what? So here's my first little bit of like, I just want to correct some things for believers that I see happening during this season. And I'm asking you, when you talk about the election, when you talk about the options, get rid of the savior language. Kamala Harris is not a savior. Donald Trump is not a savior. They're going to align or not align with certain biblical principles, and we'll discuss some of those in the coming weeks. In fact, I should probably do this now. Let me just give you, parents, I need to give you a little bit of a warning. If you have children, you're really probably going to want to take advantage of our excellent children's ministry, Kids Life, next weekend. Because today I'm teaching this good versus evil. Next week, I'm preaching a message I feel like I have to preach. In fact, I've never felt so sure that I have to be this direct and clear about something. And I'm going to preach a message next weekend called We Must Protect the Children. And then week three, Pastor Perry's going to talk about your kingdom come, your will be done, and how you got to go vote. You've got to, anytime you have an opportunity to align yourself with your kingdom come, your will be done, we should participate. And then we're going to close the series with a message on contending for religious liberty, because it is under attack. For the first time in my lifetime, it's clearly under attack. And so we're going to talk about our response to that. How do we, in kindness and graciousness and love, be clear and contend for religious liberty? So Donald Trump's not a savior. Kamala Harris is not a savior. These wonderful candidates who are with us this morning, they're not saviors. They're humans. Spiritual leaders are not saviors. They're humans. I'm a human. I mess up. Quite a bit, actually. And so I just want to be clear that we need to be clear this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus, don't use savior language for the political candidates. There is only one savior. His name is Jesus. Come on, everybody. You're already saved. And the only remedy for this world is not a political candidate, it's revival. It's people coming to Jesus and realizing their need of a savior. And so we're going to dive in to some of the specific issues in this series, but today I need it to be a foundation that we build the next several weeks off of. Where we understand that, okay, we're in this good versus evil battle, and you're participating either willingly or unwillingly. So I'm trying to wake you up, trying to get you awake so that you can participate in what's going on. Romans chapter 1, Paul says, which, by the way, you can't even read this scripture publicly in the nation just to our North Canada. They'll throw you in prison for hate speech. Romans chapter 1 says, they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a, everybody say this, depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. In the Greek, this phrase depraved mind literally means a mind that doesn't work right anymore. So God's like, listen, I've given you free will. I've laid out a perfect plan for you. I would love it if you would follow me and live life the way I'm calling you to. But you're free to choose something else. Otherwise, just be aware, if you do, your brain will break. Your mind will not work correctly anymore. And isn't it kind of interesting that the more post-Christian our nation becomes, the more depraved it is? That, I mean, even like we just see, there's so much hurting, there's so much pain, there's a mental health epidemic, there's all these things going on in our world right now. And as we get further and further from being a God-first nation, a God-centered nation, all these other issues continue to grow and come to the surface. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence. How many of y'all, like, over the last 4 years, I have found myself multiple times saying this: make that make sense. Anybody else? How many of y'all have had a make it make sense moment sometime in the last 4 years? Make it make sense that a boy can play a girl's sport. Some of you are like, uh-oh, we're going there. Yeah, we are. Listen, I'm not looking for conflict, but I'm not afraid of it either. I'm going to teach the Bible. Make it make sense. Make it make sense that people marched on our streets wearing a terrorist organization's colors and uniform, chanting death to Israel, while American citizens were hostages. And we didn't even do anything to get them back. We let Israel do it all. Make that make sense. The sudden rise of all the racial, we're all supposed to just hate each other and be mad at each other, and there's just nothing you're gonna be able to do about it. We're just all gonna be, and I'm like, baloney. It's the nicest thing I can say as a pastor. I've got a few other thoughts. How about just no? No. How about, like, in the Bible it says we're, like, we don't even have any of that. We're all just children of God. Like, how about that? Can we just do that? I'm going to teach that to my kids. Y'all can keep the other nonsense. Just make it, like, make it make sense. So much. So much. And as believers, we're like, oh, like, what do I do with that? And you kind of want to, like, even get a little angry maybe, some righteous indignation, which that's okay. The Bible says anger's okay. Just in your anger, don't sin. Right? So maybe not with the name calling and the picking fights on social media. Maybe not. But we can shine a light on it. But the problem is, like, even in our church, among people that we're pastoring and leading, I've noticed increasingly that people don't know how to tell the difference between good and evil. Like, they just don't know. They just don't know. Camille Paglia, who is a lesbian atheist, is an intellectual and a researcher, wrote about her study on the destruction of great societies. So she's doing research. And I thought this was interesting to see because this isn't a Christian worldview. This is just a research worldview. And she said, for great societies to fall, three things happen. First, they come after the children. And they try to break apart the family unit. They want to indoctrinate the children with new ideals. And then they come after manhood. It's not okay to be masculine. It's not okay to show strength. That's all bad. And I think there are unhealthy patterns in patriarchal systems, to be clear. But I also think, like, it's okay to be a man and like power tools. And monster trucks. Ladies can like that stuff too, but we grunt and stuff when we do it. And then finally, intentional androgyny. And androgyny is simply a word that means to flip or blend the roles. In the world of botany, plants and flowers, it just means a plant that has both sexes. So it can play both roles. I didn't give the kid warning this morning, so I won't go any further than that. But y'all know what I'm saying? It's just flipping everything upside down. And if you don't know how to discern good from evil, as this happens in our world, you'll just kind of go, okay. Love is love. And here's the problem, is Paul says in Hebrews chapter 5, anyone who lives on what? Being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. What is righteousness? It's my ability, your ability to be in right standing with God, to do right in the eyes of God. So he says, if you live on just milk, you won't be able to understand righteousness. But solid food is for who? The mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Do you see it? Yeah. On the other side of that wall, in kids' life, we're serving a lot of milk. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. That's milk. And you need that. Most of us were drawn to our Savior because of his radical, scandalous, unconditional love for us. But the issue becomes if you never get off of milk and move to solid food, you cannot mature. So if you notice, like, nobody sings like, take your cross and follow me. Your future's full of suffering. Right? It's your job to die today. To your flesh, so you better pray. Like, we don't. I do this with my kids in the car. Like, I'll just start randomly singing things and making things rhyme, and they're just like, please, Dad, please make it stop. Please. Sometimes I do it, like, in hip-hop, and then they're really embarrassed. When it comes to good and evil, I know some of you would be like, yeah, Pastor, could you just give us a list? Like, just give us a list. Tell us what's good, what's evil, so that we can know. And the problem is, if I did that, a handful of you would take it and distort it anyway. Like, you'd analyze it and be like, I don't know if I agree with that one. And then you'd teach your own version of it. But my job as someone who's trying to lead people into spiritual development is not to give you lists. My job is to help you move from milk to solid food. Like, what I want for you is to be able to make your own meal. I don't want to make all the meals. Sometimes you guys don't even thank me anyway. I'm just kidding. You need to cook your own food. Come on. That's the goal. To learn how to discern between good and evil. And you're not, by the way, you're not going to be able to just trust your feelings on this. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Yay. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it, like, we don't even know how bad it is. Martin Luther said that our flesh nature curves in on itself. And so we really can't trust our heart. We can't always trust our feelings. You can't just do what feels good to you. And the frightening thing about this is Christians will do this. They're trusting their own feelings, but then they think they're getting it right because they use this one sentence as like the boom, mic drop, I got you. I'll say, hey, I'm really concerned that this decision you're making is not going to lead to flourishing. It's not going to lead to blessing in your life. It actually might lead to pain and sorrow. And they'll go, oh yeah? Well, I prayed about it. What now, Pastor? And what I teach people that I'm discipling is don't just pray about it. Also seek wise counsel about it and read the word about it. Because if all you do is pray about it and you convince yourself you're good, you might actually just be praying to yourself. And if the result of your prayer is out of alignment with the scripture, if it's out of alignment with God's word, you prayed wrong. Oh, y'all ain't amen to me now. A couple of y'all are. Some of you are like, is it lunchtime yet, Pastor? Can we go? There's stuff going on in our world that, like, I don't know that I ever thought I would see it in my lifetime. But the Bible told us it would happen all the way back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 5, it says, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. That dark is light and light is dark. That bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Are y'all going to come back to church next week? I'm getting a little nervous. Okay. The same chapter of Isaiah, chapter 5, actually gives us six woes, six cautions. Six times it says, what sorrow for those. And I won't read all the scriptures for the sake of time, but I want you to know what they are this morning. The first one in verse 8 is careful about greed and materialism. Verse 11 is careful about self-indulgent pleasures. Verse 18 is careful if you get to the point where you just sin on purpose, like you just don't care anymore and you don't even feel anything anymore. We'll talk about that some more next week. Verse 20 is what sorrow for those who, that we just read, get good and evil backwards. Verse 21 says what sorrow for those who get to the place where they start determining for themselves what is good and evil. And verse 22 and 23 touch on self-indulgence again and those who participate in social injustice. Doesn't it feel like we live in this mess? So you got to get from milk to meat. From milk to solid food. Parents, y'all remember the first time you put solid food in your kid's mouth? Put some peas in there and they're like, man, sometimes that's what God's word does to me. Sometimes I'm like, really? Really? But it give sustenance and strength. I'm getting at least one amen back there. By the way, just so you guys know my heart, anytime I hear children cry in church, you probably notice we don't have ushers come run and ask them to leave, because if there's anybody I want in church, it's families who are training up their children in the ways of the Lord. So cry away. I'm glad you're here. Here's what I love about this. Discerning good from evil, it is available to all of us. Anyone can get serious about the Bible. Anyone can. It's available to all of us. I heard a beautiful story this past week. Pastor who we're connected with, and there's a woman in their church. Her name was Hillary. And Hillary spent most of her life far from God. Had not attended church, had not made Jesus the Lord and Savior. None of that. Came to church, got invited by a friend. Actually, by somebody she met at a park. Their kids were playing and got invited to church. Had a powerful encounter with the presence of God. Gave her heart to Jesus. Started attending a discipleship small group. Learning how to be a follower of Jesus. After one of the small group sessions, she came to the pastor. His name is Pastor Rob. She came, pulled him aside. She said, "Pastor Rob, I just need you to know, as I'm getting into the Word, I'm reading the Bible, I'm learning so much, but I'm also realizing so many of the things that I thought were okay, that I thought were good, are actually not good. Like, I kind of blew it." She said, "My husband is a active duty military, and while he was on deployment, I was sending him care packages loaded with pornography. Because I thought I was just being a good wife and helping him out while he was away." And she said, now I'm getting into the Word, and I'm realizing, like, God calls us to purity and to all these different things that I'm really, she goes, I guess I blew it. I kind of messed it up. But the pastor said, "Hey, that's okay. That was all of us at one time. You just keep leaning into the Word. You just keep leaning into what God is calling you to. Discerning good from evil is available to all of us." Like, we can all get there. We can all figure it out. And if you're not sure this morning, there's no shame on you. But there is an invitation. There's a call. As Paul says, it's going to require some things. It's going to require constant use. If you can't prepare your own meals yet, you're going to have to practice. Come on, y'all. Maybe even just get on a plan. Y'all, I love this day and age that we live in. You don't even have to be a good cook. You can just sign up for a subscription. They'll do all the grocery shopping for you. They'll send you a box, and all you have to do is put it in the oven or the microwave. And poof, you got a meal. I don't do that because I know how to cook, baby. I'll be cooking today. It's football season. We're doing some chicken nachos in our house. Organic. Come on. God's Word, it's going to require constant use. Constant use, Paul says. And if you're not sure where to start, if you don't know how to make your own meals yet, then get a one-year Bible. There's a bunch of them out there at the info desk. If you can't afford it, just take it. Download the Bible app on your phone. Get on a plan. And can I just say this morning? I should have said this in the first service. Going from milk to solid food does not mean go consume more sermons on the internet. That's you eating somebody else's meal. I want you to cook your own meal. Stop eating everybody else's best meal. Learn how to cook your own meal so that you can serve it up to somebody else who needs it. Come on. Go eat. It requires constant use. Constant use. Am I being too preachy this morning? Are y'all okay? Y'all need a deep breath moment? No? Okay, all right. Constant use, constant use. Daily Bible, one-year Bible, soap, scripture, observation, application, prayer. It also requires responsible study of the Bible. I need to say something to you. The Bible is not open for your unique interpretation. And if you're not sure what it means, then seek help. Get counsel. Ask for a good study Bible with a good commentary. Responsible study, sometimes, man, it's deep. It means digging into the original language. It means looking at the context. It means looking at the cultural moment that they were living in. It requires responsible study. If you just read the Bible in English and come away with your own conclusion, sometimes you're going to end up with the wrong conclusion. So you got to be, if you're going to take it seriously, constant use, responsible study. And some of you are like, man, that sounds like work. Yeah, it's not milk. Solid food. And then you're going to want to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. As you consume the word, as you consume the word, listen to the Holy Spirit. Develop a responsive heart that listens to God and responds to his promptings. We're going to address some of the evils in the weeks ahead, but where I kind of wanted to go before we end today is, if it's good versus evil, let's just have some clarity about what the good is. I love Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. He's told us. And this is what he requires of you. Do what is right. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Do right. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Paul helped us out in Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit does what? Produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. You know, Delaware ranks top 10 for road rage. For real. It does. I'm a participator. I recently traveled to Utah. They're all so nice. Terrible drivers. I brought some Delaware rage. Like, y'all need some of this. Come on, you need patience on I-95. Patience when you're navigating a high school parking lot. I just want to slap this dude the other day. Like, you should not have your license yet, son. But no, I'm going to do goodness and faithfulness. So instead of just, hey, buddy, you're really bad at this. Gentleness, self-control. There is what? No law. Nobody's going to be like, how dare you be kind to me? It's not going to happen. We need to know what's good. Read it, know it, learn it, memorize it. Constant use. Malcolm Gladwell said that 10,000 hours in one activity is what it would take to obtain expert level. I want to be a Bible expert. I want you to be Bible experts. 10,000 hours in one activity. If you did 10 hours a week for the next 20 years, you'd be an expert in the Bible. And I know some of you are like, whoa, that's not happening. I know. I want you to... So all the more, we're going to have to be intentional. Even if you can get 5 hours a week, in 40 years, you can be an expert on the Word of God. That's why I'm not just calling you to hang out here on a Sunday. That's why we're calling you into small groups. That's why we're calling you into serving on the Dream Team. Dream Team is not about what the church gets out of it. It's about you being around people in iron sharpened iron scenarios where you're going to have the Word of God and a love for God at the center of what you're doing, and you're going to leverage your gifts and your talents and your influence to draw other people into that with you. So I'm asking you this morning to not just be a church attender, get on mission, get in line, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Take it seriously. Learn how to follow him. Learn how to be an apprentice of our master, our teacher. Would you close your eyes with me this morning? Maybe you're in the room or watching online and you have never had a moment where you surrendered to Jesus. He's not Lord of your life. And so, if you're being honest, like, you're not really discerning between good and evil. In fact, probably living in a lot of confusion around it. And I just want to give you the opportunity today to change all of that, to begin a relationship with Jesus, to surrender control of your life to Him, and to begin learning how to follow Him. So heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you'd say, hey, Pastor, you're describing me. I need to give my life to Jesus today. I would love to just pray with you this morning. I won't call you to the front of the room. I won't do anything to make a spectacle of you or embarrass you, but I'd love to know if you're here. If you need a relationship with Jesus this morning, would you just wave your hand at me really quick? Just say, hey, Pastor, that's me. I need to surrender to Jesus today. I see it. Good job. Anybody else? I see it. Good job. Anybody else? You can just put it up and right back down. I'm proud of you. It takes guts. If you raise your hand, we're just going to pray a prayer together right now. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. In fact, the whole church is going to say it with me, and it's kind of our way of just welcoming you into the family of God. You're not joining a church. You're just beginning your walk with Jesus. So come on, church, nice and loud, say it with me. Say, dear Jesus, today I surrender to you. Please forgive me for all the time I've spent as Lord of my own life. From this day on, you're in charge. I believe you died on the cross, paid the price for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead 3 days later. And from this day on, Jesus, you're Lord. Heaven is my future home. I'm never looking back. Teach me to be a disciple and how to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate as heaven grows this morning. Sure, so awesome. Come on, you know, like, the Holy Spirit's in here. People get saved, you're talking about politics. That's God. That is Jesus. All right. Would you stand to your feet? I want to have one more prayer moment with you this morning. I'm getting you out almost right on time. I'm like 2 minutes over, okay? So just hang with me. Would you close your eyes one more time? I know this isn't what we had planned, guys. How hard would it be for us to do that world needs Jesus? Can we get to that somehow? Pastor Perry's going to come out and close us in a moment. And when he does, we're just going to sing that song again. I really want that to be our heart throughout this series. You can stay or go. It's up to you. But that's kind of how I wanted to end today. But with nobody looking around, if you just say, hey, like, if I'm being honest, I haven't maybe been real intentional about shining a light. Or I've kind of been living in just a lot of gray area, a lot of murkiness around good versus evil. Maybe you've even been a little bit intimidated by the cultural moment we live in. And today you just needed to be reminded. And you sense maybe God's calling me to a little bit more clarity, a little bit more honesty in the moment we live in. Just wave a hand at me if that's you. Anybody? Like, this just resonated with you somehow? Yep, a whole bunch of us. So Heavenly Father, here's my prayer for your people today, God. As we live surrendered to you, I pray you would put courage inside your church. That we would take seriously the opportunity and the responsibility that we have to know good from evil and to speak up, to call good good and evil evil. Help us to turn the light on Help us to aim the light into the dark places. Not that we would ever feel superior or smarter or above anyone else, but just in service to this world, God, and with the hopes that we would be pointing people to you. Learning how to follow you. Help us to know, God. Help us to see it. And help us to have the courage to stand firm. That's how we vote for you. And our ultimate allegiance, our ultimate loyalty is to you, Jesus.